Hi there. You're listening to the Voice with Action podcast. I am your host, Deb Balico.
And I am Rebecca Pratt, co-founder and president of Orphan Relief and Rescue. Tune in to be awakened and inspired to take action towards what you were created to do in this world, to live fully alive.
Hello, and welcome to the Voice with Action podcast. I'm here with Rebecca. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
And today we really wanted to talk about how God wants to relieve suffering and that he wants to use us to relieve that suffering. So he is looking for a person to say yes to him. And the scripture that we want to start with is Isaiah 58:10. It says, "Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon. The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring." So, Rebecca, will you share more of why this scripture means so much to you?
Yeah, personally, I have seen, you know, this work that I'm doing in Africa. I would have never picked this kind of profession, honestly. Yet, you know, through the years, and if you've read my Inspired to Action book and my Inspired to Live an Extraordinary Life book, you will read, you know, just the struggle of learning to say yes to the Lord. And yet, as I walked forward with that, with each step forward, you know, I just had such a sense of satisfaction with the Lord and just this peace that surpasses all understanding that guards my heart and my mind. Everywhere I go, whatever I do feel the favor of the Lord upon my life, upon my family's life. And I have just, you know, tested a lot of things that, you know, when I choose to steer away from the promptings of what God is prompting my heart to do, you know, I don't feel the favor of the Lord if I'm walking away from what I know God is asking me to do. And I also have sleepless nights, which I love my sleep. So that's, you know, kind of a thing that God prompts my heart with. But I've seen just this incredible, like, I am living, in my opinion, the greatest life ever. Not that my life is easy by any way, shape, or form, but I have such a peace in my life, and I feel just the presence of Jesus so strong in my life. And I watch even our staff on the field, and they are, you know, they've all come from really hard scenarios, life circumstances that I have personally been involved with, just listening, you know, to them, praying with them, and helping them walk through just some really tough stuff. And I've watched their life as well as they've learned to say yes to these different things that God is asking of them, and how literally God has intervened over and over in their life and has, you know, rescued them really out of the pit of some really tough stuff. And they're walking in this beautiful freedom that they literally, one testimony after the next. I just love listening to their testimonies. Honestly, when I go on a trip, I just ask them, you know, what's God showing you? What's God doing in your life? And they are never at a shortage of just sharing the goodness of the Lord, of what God is doing, what God is showing them. And they each say they're living their best life now in walking in partnership with the Lord. And that is what we're seeing. You know, the scripture that you read, that's really, he does give us, we're like a watered garden, that we're flourishing in partnership with him. And this is the way God has intended us to live life. You know, life is not about ourselves. And I have a quote that I made up that says, "A life unto ourselves is no life at all." And when we live this life, and it's to get more money, it's to get a bigger house, it's to get stuff, it's to make sure that our family is totally okay. When we do that, we're missing out on this whole other level of what God wants to do in and through our life for the world. And it doesn't mean we don't help our family, obviously. You know, we're called to first to, you know, our ministry, our first ministry is to the Lord, and our second is to our family. And then it is to the world. It is to those he puts in our path in front of us, or shows us, alerts us of different things. That is our calling in this world, is to be Jesus wherever he calls us to be. And it's not abandoning our family, but it's not being exclusive. You know, I sat by one gentleman on the plane and I was telling him some different things, you know, and he says, "Well, that's good for you and what you're doing. But," he says, "if it doesn't benefit my family, I'm not going to spend time on it, because, you know, My whole focus is my family, making sure my family's okay. I get that. I get what he's saying, but he's missing out on this whole other realm in partnership with God. Now, he isn't a believer. He doesn't know Jesus. So, you know, that's the world. You know, if it doesn't benefit us, we're not going to do it. That's the sad part. But there's also a scripture in Proverbs. It's Proverbs 19:17, and it says, "Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done." I don't feel like it's a financial thing necessarily. It's a reward in a whole different way. It's emotionally, spiritually, practically, he does provide everything we need as we're walking in sync with him. It's just how he does it. Now, obviously, if we're not good with our finances or our resources, we're going to have some consequences with that. And, you know, he's going to teach us those things. But if we truly are being frugal with what he's entrusted with us and we're in a need, God is going to provide. And he has shown me over and over and over how incredible of a provider he is. And I've watched this with our staff. I've watched this with the work that we're doing. You know, it kind of reminds me of a story in the early days when we were just feeding hungry kids in West Africa, and the social welfare office were begging us to start an orphanage safe home for kids that were living in slavery in relatives' homes, no mother, no father alive. And at that time, obviously, the organization had zero money towards anything like that. It was one of those things just in the back of my mind. Well, you know, maybe one day we'll be able to do something like that. But I had a gentleman come from Switzerland he was actually helping us feed these hungry kids. And when he went home to Switzerland, he invited some ladies from his church over because they wanted to hear, you know, how his Africa trip went. So he was sharing with them how it went. And the next day, one of the ladies called him and said, "You need to go to such and such's house." You know, we'll call her Yvonne. She said, "You need to go to Yvonne's house. She wants to see you." And so this gentleman said, "Okay, you know." So he went to her one bedroom flat and walked upstairs, and she had all this money sitting on her front table. And she said, "I want you to take that to the orphans." And he was like, "No, this is your money. I can't take from you. You know, you're living in this one bedroom flat, you know, very simply." And, you know, and she says, "Okay, I want to tell you the story of where this money came from." So she says, "You know, during the Nazi persecution, my family and I lived in France, and my parents sent me to Switzerland to a convent. And they basically sent me there to be in hiding for 8 years. I lived in the convent. And after the 8 years, you know," she said, "life was hard." She said, "It was hard work, and I did it unto the Lord. And it was satisfying to her to do the hard work. But it was a sacrifice. But she was thankful. She was alive. She was saved, you know." And at the end of the 8 years, it was time to go. The war was over, and the priest came to her and gave her a chunk of money. And he said, "You know, everybody who works is due pay. So this is money to help you with your life." And she didn't want to take it, but he said, you need to take it. So she did use some of it, you know, to get started with her life there. And then she put it in the bank, and it collected interest all these years. So she was telling this gentleman that this money was the Lord's money, and she wanted to use it for something that was going to benefit others. And she says, "You need to take it to those orphan children and do something for them with this money." So he said he still didn't want to take it. And she convinced him, "You know, if anything happens to me, my church will take care of me. I've already talked to my church pastor, and they're prepared to help me if anything happens. And I do have more money, so it's okay. Just take it." So he says he reluctantly took it because she was so adamant that this was for the orphans. And he says he couldn't sleep for 3 days. He couldn't believe what a sacrificial gift this woman had given. And then he called me and he says, "You know, Rebecca, we have to do something very important for these kids with this money, because she's just given it sacrificially. And, you know, she doesn't have much money." And this was, to him, this was an incredible sacrificial gift that we needed to make sure really counted. And so he said, you know, I know you've been talking about maybe building an orphanage. And he says, let's do that. Let's build it with this. So that was the beginning of the seed money. And then this gentleman ended up helping to fund the rest of that. But it was miraculous. It was definitely a gift, unexpected, shocking. And, you know, her life was saved. And then she's given a gift. And then she's like, this is God's money. And she's going to use it for God's work. I'm blown away by that. And you and I were talking before this about paying it forward. Like, she just wanted to pay it forward. That's what we're seeing with even the kids, you know, that the kids that we serve and that are helped are literally going to college and university. Actually, we just had a doctor. We just had one of the students. She went through 7.5 years of medical school. She just graduated this month from medical school, and she's a full-fledged doctor. And she was raised in the orphanage. And I'm like, oh my goodness, we have another one that's a social worker. She's actually was just hired to work in the orphanage where she grew up because she still has a couple siblings there. She's an amazing young lady. She's not a typical like older sibling that, you know, doesn't want to hang out with the kids. She's incredible. And she has such a heart for her fellow brother and sisters. But, you know, she's one that, yeah, she wanted to get her social work degree because she wanted to pay it forward to help others. And the numerous kids, you know, that we have on our program that have graduated from university or a trade school who are now working for us and literally paying it forward. And it's just incredible. Mm-hmm.
Well, we even see that with the growth of our savings and loans program and the women that started with so little and so grateful, you know, to have the choice to start a business, to protect their families. They didn't have to send their children away. They could feed their children, and that they wanted then to build their business and hire in apprentices of kids that could have been trafficked. And they wanted to teach them a trade. They wanted them to have their own businesses. And they said, it is that whole concept of one act of kindness has given them the passion and motivation to pay it forward and give back to their community. And it really is amazing to see.
Yeah, it is beautiful. Just the acts of kindness and what kindness does. I was just looking online at just kindness and the benefits for the giver. And it was interesting, all these medical studies that are done by actual health studies from different health organizations and different health hospitals, different universities. And literally it says the benefits for the giver is increased happiness and well-being. It says studies show that acts of kindness release feel-good chemicals like serotonin, dopamine, and oxytocin, leading to increased happiness, reduces stress, and a greater sense of life satisfaction. And then it says it improves our mental health. Kindness can help combat loneliness, improve low mood, and reduce anxiety and depression. It's boosted self-esteem. Feeling good about doing good for others can increase one's self-esteem and sense of purpose. And then the physical health benefits, it lowers blood pressure, and it has a positive effect on stress. And then the benefits for the receiver, feeling seen and supported. You know, these are just, we all know because we've all received acts of kindness. And we do. It makes people feel valued. It makes us feel valued and appreciated and connected. It says it does positive mood and reduces stress. And when we're on the receiving end of kindness, it boosts our mood, reduces our stress, promotes a more positive outlook. Kindness fosters stronger relationships and deeper connections with others, which I've seen any friend that has helped me in any way, shape, or form become my really good friend. I stick close with them because they're so positive and encouraging, and they're just givers to everybody around them. And I want some of what they have to rub off on me, you know, so that I can be that way. And it is, it's incredible just what kindness does do. And I just am encouraged again, not only what I see in my staff, our staff in West Africa, in the States. You know, we're all a part of a mission that is to be kind to others, you know, to represent Jesus well. And we see the recipients, what it does on their end. And then as receivers, yeah, it just gives us life.
Yeah, we'll make sure to put that a link in the show notes if anyone wants to look at the, it was called Random Acts of Kindness Foundation. So I'll put a randomactofkindness.org. So I'll put that in the show notes if you want to see some of those scientific studies of the, you know, physical effects of that from the giver and the receiver. But just this whole topic of sacrificing your life essentially for what the God's calling you to do and that God will provide for you. It does make me think of my own family where my father, he was a lawyer and he, for years, God called him to leave his law practice and join the ministry and specifically to be a counselor, but an ordained pastor. So he always worked for, so to work for a church as a family counselor. And so he did end up leaving his law practice. And it makes me think of this Isaiah 58:10 of helping those in trouble, where in his law practice, he was a defense case lawyer and he was working with divorce situations. And he felt like, you know, I feel like I'm tearing. By the time someone comes to a lawyer, their family is being torn apart. And he wanted to help restore families and bring them back together. So he left his nice paying job to go into the ministry. And I was always amazed growing up, like he really never had a fear of finances. And he just had this faith, a gift of faith that he really believed the Lord will provide for everything we need. And we didn't grow up extremely wealthy, but we had exactly what we needed. And if we were ever in need, we had a couple miraculous stories of just my, of my dad just being like, Lord, I trust that in the right time, you will be able to repair this car or, you know, whatever the expense might be. And it was amazing. It built my own faith and curiosity of this God who does provide because my dad sacrificed for those in trouble.
I love that. Yeah, it's been fun to watch even our staff in West Africa in particular because, you know, when they first started working with us, particularly the different ones that, you know, were suffering themselves, and yet they had a heart to help those who are suffering because they knew what suffering was and had a personal experience with that suffering. Some of them, you know, had been slaves themselves. And so they have a passion to rescue and make sure kids aren't experiencing what they had to experience growing up. And yeah, the stories that they tell of just God's provision and protection and favor over their life, and they're living their best life. I always say I'm living my best life, and they always are saying we're living our best life. You know, this is how God created us to live. And it is that kindness, paying it forward, learning to say yes to the Lord, but also trusting that God is, as we're helping take care of others, God is literally taking care of us. It is that scripture of lending to the poor. Okay, if we're giving to the poor, we're lending to the Lord is what that proverb says. And it literally is the truth. And it's not financial necessarily, like he is going to provide financially for what we need, but it's not like you and I had talked about before this podcast, even that it's not a get rich quick thing. It's not like, okay, we're going to help the poor and God's going to give us, you know, whatever we want financially. It's not a financial prosperity. It is literally knowing that God is trustworthy. He is going to provide for our needs. He is going to provide for what he wants us to accomplish in front of us. And he is going to go above and beyond what we could ask or imagine with what he wants us to accomplish when it comes to helping those. And it's not even just the poor in physical form. It's poor in spirit. It's the down and out. Somebody needs a hand up emotionally to put our arms around them and to pray for them, encourage them. A lot of what we do is not a financial thing. I always tell our teams when I bring a team to West Africa, I always say, you know, a lot of these needs that are going to come to you, we can't help them. There's nothing we can do. It's out of our programmatic realm or it's out of our financial means to do it. But what we do have is we do have this God of love who loves them more than we could even imagine, and we can pray for them. And the God who loves them will move mountains on their behalf to show himself strong on their behalf and to show them how faithful he is to them and how big he is. And God wants to reveal himself to them. So that's God's department. Our job is to pray in active obedience of just saying, okay, this problem is big, but I'm going to pray for you. And the God who loves you, he can help you in this. And what we end up seeing is we end up seeing miracle after miracle after miracle that are too many to put into a book. And if you want to read some of those miracles and inspired to action, when I talk about, you know, going to the street and just becoming friends with different ones that were begging on the street, and I had nothing to give. And literally, God said, yes, you do have a lot to give. You have me. And so it was just a challenge to just pray for one after the next and for God to physically provide jobs, provide miraculous healings. And sometimes the people were literally dying of some disease and praying for them to come to Jesus so that they could have an eternal life with Jesus. You know, sometimes whatever it was, I just prayed into existence what I felt like God was asking me to pray. And the rest was in God's hands. And that's what we do with this work. A lot of what we do is pray and ask God to intervene, because the God we serve is trustworthy. And we see how he does that in our own life. And we see how he is going to do it in their life in a way that we don't know what's best. We don't know what's best for them. When a child is dying in my arms, I don't know if it's best to just pray for them to live or pray for them to literally go home to Jesus. You know, I don't know what's best. So I pray, God, your perfect will be done. And if God prompts us to whisk that child off to the hospital, I use the local staff to do it because I don't want, you know, my face to be the one intervening into these situations. And God surprises me around every single corner. God is so, so trustworthy. If I can leave anybody with the word to end the podcast, it would be that the God we serve is trustworthy in every facet of our life and in every facet of the lives in front of us. And the stories are endless, what we can share, but every one of our listeners, every one of you listening, you have a story of remembering God's faithfulness in your own life as well. And if you're not writing down those things, write them down so that you don't forget, because that's what God, you know, literally told the Israelites. Whenever he did a big miracle or did something, he said, you know, put a monument of stones, erect a monument of stones, you know, in this certain spot so that you always remember what I did right here. And that's what we get to do in writing, is we get to remember God's faithfulness and then go back when we're feeling a little depressed or sad, go back to those remembrances, look at that journal and remind us ourselves of how faithful and how good he is.
Yeah, because going back, God does want to relieve suffering and he wants to use us. So like Rebecca said, it doesn't necessarily mean financial, doesn't necessarily mean, it says feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Those in trouble could be emotional, could be spiritual. There's a whole host of ways that people are in trouble. So are you willing to sacrifice and be available to be with that person in trouble, and that you can trust that God will do the rest? So thank you for joining us today, and we will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Voice with Action podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, would you consider sharing or subscribing to this podcast and leave a 5-star review to help us grow? If you want to reach us or help us end child trafficking in West Africa, go to orphanreliefandrescue.org. That's orphanreliefandrescue.org. See you next week.